She can be seated. Well, good morning again.
Thank you, Trace.
It's good to see your faces today. It's good to see you at home. You're probably glad we can't see you, though, right now. But it's really good to be back together again. And it's really good to be able to worship and continue to worship wherever we are. Sorry, I'm playing with my mic because I had to take my mask off there. We're going to be looking at the parables of Jesus at a time where wisdom is at a premium. We need the wisdom of God right now, do we not? Difficult times that we're in, these parables are not just moral lessons for us. There's something deeper, something far more profound, telling us not just how to make our lives better, but they're packed with dynamite. They're packed with something explosive to reveal grand things about the kingdom of God. That's what we need right now. That's who we need right now. Today, the stories we're going to look at, they're little stories. Sorry, I'm playing with this here. Is that better? Okay, thanks, Bertu. Today, these are little stories. They're two stories that run right alongside each other like railroad tracks. They're both headed in the same direction to highlight something similar about the kingdom of God in slightly different ways. So look with me, if you have your Bible or if you have your app, at Matthew 13, verses 44 to 46. Here's what it says. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has, and he buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, who on finding one pearl of great value, went and sold all that he had and bought it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So have you ever been distracted? Anybody here ever been distracted? Yeah, a couple of you. A couple of you right now because you didn't raise your hand. Maybe you were working on a project and a text popped up on your phone. And so you answered it, and then you realized while you were answering it that you were hungry. And so you went to the kitchen. And when you got to the kitchen, there were dishes there in the sink, and so you did the dishes. And in doing the dishes, you realized there were a couple of dish rags that hadn't been washed in a while, and so they needed to be cleaned, and so you took them to the laundry room. And that reminded you that you had this big stack of laundry in your closet, and you needed to take care of that, and so you went and did the laundry, right? And all of a sudden, you find yourself there in the laundry room realizing that you had a project you were working on about half an hour ago, and now you're totally lost in something else. You've been distracted. Sound familiar? We're easily distracted people. We miss important things because we're captivated by what's next and not by what's most important. John Calvin writes of our spiritual distraction when he says these words about the warning that this passage offers us. He said this, "We're so captivated by the allurements of the world that eternal life fades from our view. And in consequence of our carnality, the spiritual graces of God are far from being held by us in the estimation which they deserve." We're captivated by other things than God. We're not just distracted people. We are spiritually distracted people. But Jesus knows this about us. And he gives us this parable, these parables. In fact, we know that Jesus usually gives parables for one of three reasons. He's either describing the unstoppable coming of the kingdom, or he's trying to display the upside-down nature of it in our eyes. Or he's calling people to a decision about the kingdom. And if you want to look more at this, you can look at Bible Project. There's a video on this. In this case, I believe what Jesus is doing is he's calling for a decision about the kingdom. Because Jesus is our most valuable treasure, we must give everything and receive him. But how do we give up everything? What does that look like for us? Is he saying that we literally need to sell everything we own for the kingdom? Well, maybe, but not necessarily. The kingdom is not something we earn by doing something like that. No, we need to recognize that this parable is calling for us to make a decision, but it's not really about us. It's about Jesus. You see, we give up everything to follow Jesus by recognizing the hidden value of what we gain and by recognizing the hidden joy of how we let go. First, we have to recognize the hidden value of our gain. That second parable describes a pearl merchant who finds a fine pearl of such special quality that it says he went and he sold all he had and he bought it. The pearl industry at this time was not one that included the poor or the middle class. So this is a rich man that the story is talking about, that Jesus is talking about here. In fact, these gems, these pearls, were more valuable and more special than diamonds are for us today. That's the reality of the story that Jesus is telling. So this man's work took him all over the world looking for these pearls. Now, his search would have taken him to places like the Red Sea, the Persian Gulf, and even India to locate the very best. Without air travel or automobiles, it would have been difficult even for a rich man. But he knows that he's looking for this special pearl, something special the whole time. He's seen every imaginable gem, every imaginable product. He's made nifty profits on merchandise that he's bought and sold. But now he comes and he finds this fine pearl, this special pearl. He's thrilled. And this find is unique. He does something different than he's ever done in his business before. He takes another trip. But this time, rather than searching for merchandise, he's selling everything off. He is the seller now. He can be a buyer of this incredible find if he sells it all. That trip takes him to all of his contacts. It involves his whole network of buyers. It means he's negotiating with many of the brokers and the merchants that he's worked with in the past. But again, something is different. He's one single. He has one single and almost compulsive focus. He'll sell all of it to buy that pearl. The intentional focus of this merchant tells us much about the value of what is gained by him. Now, I've described a little more of what this all looks like at the time Jesus was telling this story. And you see, this is what Jesus is trying to highlight here, the enormity of this thing that he finds, this pearl that he finds. There's so much gained here. But I want you to notice something that's happened in the merchant. This one that he's found no longer has value for what it can get him. This pearl has value in and of itself, inherent value for him. He wants to keep it this time, not just sell it to get money. Friends, I wonder if you and I really see the value of the kingdom of God in our lives. We're so distracted by other things that even though we may be followers of Christ, we are not captivated by him. We don't see the inherent value of being a friend of King Jesus. Not because of what we get, but because of who he is. Consider that the one who came to earth is the same one who created it. Consider that the one who created human beings is the same one who became one. Consider that the one who lived a perfect life died a substitutionary death so that we could inherit ultimate freedom from the judgment our sin demands. Consider that the one who died and who was raised and now works with the Father and the Spirit in order to restore all that was destroyed by our rebellion. This is the God who made promises to the people himself and backed it up by coming to fulfill those promises. There's a church in our denomination that many years ago built a new sanctuary. They've raised the money, they found the architect and the contractor, and they made the plans and they started to build. But you know one of the first things that they did? They took a beam and they sunk that beam way down into the bedrock of where the foundation of the building was. And they secured it into place before they even built the rest of the building. Then they added another beam actually as a cross beam, and they made that beam into a cross. And it stands there today at the very front of the sanctuary of the church. One of my pastor friends at the church says he gets asked sometimes by couples who are doing weddings, arranging their wedding ceremonies, if they can move the cross so it doesn't get in the way of the pictures. And he lets them know that not only won't they move the cross, but they can't move the cross. Their decision years ago makes compromise impossible for them. It's not going anywhere. Everything they do must work around it and not the other way around. How many of us have this message of the cross secured so deeply down within us that every day we have to work around it? Every day the cross needs to get in our way so that we see and experience the great benefit we gain from the beauty of God's costly grace in Jesus. You see, Jesus is our most valuable treasure. So we give up everything and we receive him. We do this by recognizing just how valuable he is. We gain so much when Christ is our God. We gain so much simply by living in the kingdom he's promised. But there's also joy we find. Not just something we gain, but also joy we find in letting go, in giving up. Think about that first parable. A man just simply going about his day and he stumbles upon this amazing treasure. Now for a Jewish person of this day, this would not be entirely absurd. There were probably stories of people who discovered things buried on property and in a field. See, this is a time where there were no banks, there were no safety deposit boxes, there were no gun safes, there were no vaults. The way you kept your valuables secure is you hid them. And what better place to hide things than digging down in the ground and burying it? Unless someone knew exactly where you buried it, it was going to be safe. Someone buries something extremely valuable in order to come back and retrieve it later, but they never return. What happens when someone else finds it? That's the story Jesus is telling here. Someone's buried this treasure and they went off to war and they never came back. They buried this treasure and they traveled somewhere abroad and they never returned. The owner of the field doesn't know it's there. There's no one coming to look for it, to claim it. But it's valuable, amazingly valuable. So valuable that the man who finds it, he's very careful. He's very deliberate. He's on a mission that captivates him completely. See, Jesus is telling us a fictional and yet real-to-life story, revealing truth about this kingdom, the value of it. What does it show us? What does this story tell us? It's a valuable kingdom, valuable enough that a person sells everything for it, just like the merchant. The man sells everything to gain the treasure. But notice that Jesus adds a word here that is important for us to see. He highlights something more that the treasure offers. Freedom. You see, Jesus says the man joyfully sells everything in order to buy this treasure. This man has found something of immense value. He's free to let go of the rest of it. What do we need to see here about this joy? Remember, I told you this man is more than likely a poor man, unlike the merchant who was probably a rich man. He's probably in some kind of community, some kind of connection. He's got family, he's got friends, he's got neighbors. He has people who depend on him. So when he decides to sell everything, there's probably a great deal of cost involved in that sale, both for him and for the people around him. Think of what a close friend or family member would say to you if you were this man. What are you doing? Are you kidding me? Are you crazy? Friends, what's the cost for us when it comes to the kingdom? There are things we have to let go of. We have to let go of our reputations being the most important priority in our lives. We have to let go of our bank accounts as our source of security. We have to let go of our skills as a measure of our worth. We have to let go of our relationships as a basis for our value in the community. We have to see that all the things we think are most valuable pale in comparison to the value of the kingdom of God. We can find joy in the fact that none of those things will have a hold on us anymore. But how do you know? How do we know that we've given up? How do we know we've given up everything? We start to let go of things because it's reasonable to do so. It makes sense to do so. It's the only other thing we can do because we see the value of the kingdom. You see, you and I cannot keep our reputations from being stained, try as we might. You and I cannot keep all our money. You and I cannot keep our relationships constantly harmonious. You and I can't keep our privilege due to our race or our class or our gender. You and I cannot keep anything the world values. My friends, in the letting go and the embracing of God's kingdom, you and I find real release. We will be able to let go with joy, and that brings freedom. So what is Jesus asking you and I to let go of today? And what is he asking us to grab a hold of today? Friends, these little parables pack explosive power. Jesus showing us that he is our most valuable treasure, and we give everything up and receive him. We don't earn our way to him like buying a field or an expensive pearl, but there's much to gain in the kingdom of God. There's much joy to find in letting go of what it is that we've been holding on to. Jim Elliot, who was killed by a group of warriors as he went to evangelize them, to bring the good news, the reality of the truth of the gospel to them in Ecuador in 1956. He was famously quoted on this view of the kingdom life. Here's what he says. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose. My friends in Jesus, we cannot lose. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for these words. Words of truth, words of life, of a story, a couple stories that you tell us. Lord, thank you for the power of these stories in our lives to shatter some things so that we could let go of some things. Lord, thank you that the kingdom is coming, but we have a decision to make in that. We let go and receive you. And so today, Lord, in response to you, we want to live out that way. I pray that this story would continue to stay with us throughout the next days and weeks as we remember what it means to let go of these things and gain you. Thank you, Jesus, that your grace is enough. Thank you, Jesus, that you're building your kingdom here in us so that the world can be different because of what you've done in and through us. In Jesus' name we pray all these things and long for your building in us. Amen.